God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. God, we're grateful. Thank you for this training center. Thank you for all the instructors. Thank you for Apostle. Thank you for all the students that are watching online. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can properly escort us in the mind of God. You're the only one that can open our eyes and open our ears and open up our hearts to receive everything God wants us to have and to understand and to know. We give you all the glory, all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you would, turn with me to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Last week, we began to talk about a better understanding of faith, how we shift ourselves from being, seeing God in a self-centric point of view to a God-centric point of view. How we shift our faith from being self-centric to being God-centric. We learned that the first purpose of our faith, the first purpose of our faith, is to please God. It's hard to please somebody when you're not doing what they want you to do. So the way faith has been taught, really faith has been taught to be a personal, as a tool to get personal gain, which that's not the purpose of faith. It can do that, but that's not its original purpose. So once we, as we begin to discover God's original purpose for faith, then we can better understand how Matthew 6:33 will work in our lives. So we look here in Hebrews 11th chapter. You know the 11th chapter is called the Hall of Faith. So I'm doing this on purpose because last week, I hope you're listening, Internet. Last week we, using Romans 12 and 3, we saw that part where it says God has given to every man the measure of faith. We know that word measure means part or a piece of something. So it says God has dealt to every man there, meaning specific, the specific, not a part, but the part, or in our case, to make it personal, their part, my part of faith, or my part of faith, other words, my part of the assignment. So understanding that, one of the first rules that I learned when you define a word is that you should be able to plug that word anywhere it's used. All right? We did it a couple of times last week. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith, or the just shall live by his assignment. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by his faith, the just shall live by his assignment. And so here in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I just want to take a few moments to read through Hebrews, the 11th chapter, so that we can, this word can make sense to us, this word assignment can make sense to us, so that we can, once again, shift ourselves from being self-centric to being God-centric. All of us came to God because we needed him. We didn't know we needed him. He knew we needed him before we knew we needed him. But we came to God because we needed something. Once we've come to God and realized that we needed something, God turned around and made it more clear that he needs us to do something. Are you seeing this? Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I'm going to start at the first verse. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let me read it like this. Now our assignment is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, our assignment brings to pass the dreams of God, or brings into reality the dreams of God. And it is also evidence, watch this, it's very key. It is evidence of the desires of our hearts being manifested. I hope you see this. Faith does two things in that scripture. It brings to pass the reality, the dreams of God, or brings into reality the dreams of God. Hope you listen to that, Internet. And it also is evident of our desires being manifested. Through our assignment, well, verse 2, for by it elders obtained a good report. For by what? Faith. Elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through our assignment, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. All right. Verse 4, by assignment, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. I want you to see this, verse 5. By assignment, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him before his translation. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Are you seeing this? Then it goes, verse 6 says, but without our assignment, it is what? Impossible to do what? Please him. Are you seeing this? So if I don't have my assignment, if I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, if I don't know what God is asking me to do, it's very hard to please him. It's very hard to please somebody if you don't know what they want. Or it's even more hard to please somebody if you're not doing what they want. Are you seeing this? But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. Does that sound familiar? Matthew 6:33. All right. Verse 7. By assignment, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by assignment. Verse 8, by assignment, Abraham, when he called to go out into a place where he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By assignment, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I want you to see the pattern here. All these old patriarchs that we read about, Abraham, Enoch, read these wonderful stories, but it all boils down to one simple thing. They understood. First of all, they knew, recognized, and understood their assignment from God. And that's why all these miraculous things happen in their lives. It's not complicated. It's very easy. We humans, mankind, wanting to be deep, has made it very difficult to live for God. Then they got all these rules and regulations. That's what denominations are developed. Then they got religion, man's idea about who God is. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. And really, watch this. We really have it easier. The reason why we have it easier is because Abraham was worshiping the moon and the stars looking for the voice of God. Here it is in, I think it's John 10:27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice. Why? Because they hear my voice. The voice of a stranger they will not follow. Jesus said, my sheep. In other words, my sheep. Watch what a sheep is. A sheep is nothing more than a follower. Give you an example. Why is that scripture? Turn that, John 10. Why does that scripture make so much sense? And we'll come back to Hebrews 11 chapter. John 10:27 is in red, so we know Jesus is speaking. Watch what he says. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Here it is, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Are you seeing this? Jesus is simply saying, let me give you an example of why Jesus used the word sheep. In biblical days, a shepherd would, when they were training a herd of sheep, they would sleep. Eat, sleep, and drink with the sheep. They would not leave the side of the sheep. The purpose they wouldn't leave, when a shepherd was creating a herd, a shepherd would sleep outside with the sheep. A shepherd would eat his lunch with the sheep, would do everything with the sheep so that the sheep can spend enough time with them to learn the voice. So that, Jesus, another passage of scripture said, the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. In other words, when Jesus saying, when you spend enough time with him, you can have a million voices speaking to you and you will be able to recognize his voice. Another way to put this is, We try to equate hearing the voice of Jesus or the voice of God to decibels or sound or loudness. But hearing the voice of God is more about being able to recognize his voice more than hearing it. Romans 12. This is important because faith, the Bible says, so that faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Or hearing by the rhema of God. So that means you got to be able to hear the voice of God if you're going to walk in faith. If you can't hear the voice of God, hope you're listening to me today. If you can't hear the voice of God, you will not be able to walk in faith. You won't be able to live by faith. Because if faith is my assignment comes from God, and it comes from God by what? Rhema. By him talking to me. So I have to be able to know how to hear the voice of God. So hearing the voice of God is very, very simple. Hearing the voice of God is more about relationship and fellowship than it is about sound. Hearing the voice of God is more about relationship and fellowship with him than trying to hear a sound. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. My followers hear my voice. Those that spend time with me hear my voice. The voice of a stranger they will not follow. So here you see in Romans 12 and 2, it says, verse 2, it says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Why? That ye may what? That ye may what? That ye may what? That ye may what? Prove. Another word that better fits prove is recognize. So, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you be able to recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that means, because here's one thing you're not going to be able to do. You're not going to be able to put God's voice in a box. God is not going to come to you the same way all the time. Because if God comes to you the same way all the time, that means you're dictating how God comes. He's no longer God, you God. Are y'all seeing this? So God is not going to come to you the same way all the time. So we have to train ourselves to be able to recognize the voice of God. Sometimes God will use friends. Sometimes he'll use a movie. Sometimes he'll use the radio, you know, to speak to you. But it's not about being able to hear the voice of God, it's being able to recognize it. Are you seeing this? And see, God is not trying to avoid you hearing him. It is very easy to hear the voice of God. What makes it, when people had this question, how I know it's the voice of God? How I know? When do I know God talking to me? Well, if you go and get familiar with his voice, how you get familiar with his voice? Well, what he has said, his word. See, when you renew your mind with the word of God, you're spending time with him. When you meditate the word of God, you're spending time with him. When you spend time with him, then you're able to know what God is saying, know how he is saying it, know when he is talking, know when he is not talking. The voice of a stranger you will not follow. You'll be able to recognize the difference between when Satan's trying to suggest something to you and when God is telling you to do something. It's based on how much time you spend with God. People who don't spend time with God will always wonder if they can hear the voice of God or not. Because when Jesus said in John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice, that was not a suggestion. That was a principle. He said, my sheep hear my voice. My followers hear my voice. The people that spend time with me hear my voice. The voice of a stranger they will not follow. Is this making sense? Back to Hebrews 11th chapter. Was in verse 11. Look at it like this. My assignment is really my interrelated instructions from God. So when you see the Bible says by faith Noah, by faith Enoch, by faith we're about to see by faith Sarah. All it's simply saying, all it simply means is that they obeyed instructions from God. When they obeyed instructions from God, then they got the required results, the desired results. Are y'all seeing this? It says through assignment, verse 11, through assignment, also Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she had judged him full of assignment who he had promised. That's what faithful means. Faith, full, full, suffix. Means it's full of something. Right? Faithful. God is faithful. God is full of his assignment. That's why he can't lie. That's why he can't change. That's why he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because he's full of faith. He's full of himself. So it's impossible for him to do anything but himself. That's why you can trust him. Because he is faithful. He's not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll make it good. Because he's faithful. He's full of his assignment. He's full of who he is. In other words, he's not going to send you on a path for him and then turn his back on you. He'll be with you until the end. That's why you can trust him. Are you seeing this? Go with me to the 11th chapter. But learn a grave lesson about faith and assignment from Jesus. Mark the 11th chapter. Once again, the body of Christ has been taught faith from a self-centric point of view. Even Mark 11, 23, and 24 has been taught from a self-centric point of view. Matter of fact, go to 23rd verse and then we'll come back to where I want to go. Go to 23rd verse. Go to 23rd verse. Now, what we've been taught is that we can speak to any mountain. Right? If we can speak to any mountain, why was Jesus very specific with this mountain? Look at the 23rd verse. He says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain." So that means when Jesus was talking this scripture or was teaching the disciples, there was a very specific situation that he was talking about. So it does not mean that we can take that scripture out of context and go start talking to all these other mountains. This mountain has to be interfering with something before we're able to speak with it. Come on now. It has to be interfering with something before we're able to speak to it. Is this making sense? Watch this now. Go back to verse 12, Mark 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, I want you to see this. It says the time of figs was not yet, right? And the Bible says in verse 14, Jesus answered. Wait a minute. Who he talked to? The tree. So that means the tree was telling him something. Right? You don't answer nobody unless somebody talking to you. So the tree, through its actions, was telling Jesus something. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever, and watches, and the disciples heard it. Now, I want to point something out here. Here it is. Jesus is leaving from one place, going to another on assignment. He was hungry. He's seeing a fig tree afar off with leaves on it. Then we see the Bible says he went to the tree even though the times of figs were not yet. Now, this is amazing. A fruit tree never has leaves until it has fruit. So the reason why Jesus went to this fig tree looking for figs is because it had leaves. All right. Now, the question is, here's the question. Why would this tree have leaves out of season? Why would this fig tree have leaves out of season? The reason why this fig tree would have leaves out of season is because God ordained that tree to feed Jesus, because he was going from one place to another on assignment from God. So here was my point. Whenever you're doing things for God, God will always provide for you. It doesn't matter the season. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world system. If you are doing what God has asked you to do, I don't care how many other people are suffering because of the economic condition, because of what's happening in the world system, but because you're on assignment for him, he will always supply for you. Now watch this. Watch this now. Jesus get to the fig tree. Watch what he says. He said, verse 13, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, right? He came if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of the fig was not yet. And Jesus answered. What the fig tree was telling Jesus is, I know you hungry. I know God ordained me to produce figs because I got leaves. But I'm not feeding you. This is important. I'm not feeding. So what did Jesus say? Jesus answered and said to the tree, okay, you're not going to feed me? Then you are going to get out of my way and everybody else's way. No man will eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. All right, let's go on. Verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem. Jesus went to the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats, and of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. Jesus is on assignment. He's doing the work. He's doing what God asked him to do. All right. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrines. And when even was come, evening time, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answereth, said unto them, watch what he says. You see what he says? Have faith in God. Or have the God kind of faith. Or have your assignment in God. Or have your assignment come from God. Are you seeing this? Then he went on to say in verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto, now does this make sense? This mountain, what mountain? Jesus was hungry. He was on assignment going from one place to another, doing what God asked him to do. He was hungry. God had provided for him to eat off a fig tree because God had commanded the fig tree to be able to be prepared. My servant is coming by him. Be prepared to feed him. The tree tried to defy what God wanted. So that gives, watch this. Anytime something defies God in providing for you, you have a right to curse it. Any mountain that gets in the way of your assignment, those are the mountains that you have a right to speak to. It's not all mountains. It's not everybody else's issues. It's the mountains that's getting away from you doing what God has asked you to do. Jesus was hungry. He saw the fig tree. The fig tree tried to defy its assignment to provide for Jesus. Jesus said, you're not going to do this to anybody else. I curse you. Then Jesus went on to explain. He said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Is this making sense? Jesus said, this mountain. What mountain? You talking about the fig tree. The fig tree that was trying to prohibit him from doing what God is actually. You need strength, right, to do what God. Right? You can't go around hungry. You know, you got to eat. You can't go around and weak and all trying to do what God asked you to do. You need your body. So God was providing for Jesus. The fig tree said, no, I'm not going to do it. Jesus said, okay, you ain't going to do it. I curse you. Then Jesus come back to explain to us, if you have your assignment in God. So now can we understand why some things we try to curse don't go nowhere? Is it because we're not directly in line with what God is asking us to do? So when we're not in line with what God is asking us to do, and we want to turn around and wield around God's power, the two don't go together. Is this making sense? So now you understand why I'm trying to get you to understand we have to shift from a self-centric point of view who God is to a God-centric idea of who he is. Because when we have him in the center and everything working around him in harmony, that means we have access to all of who he is. See, when you have God at the center, then you're actually able to walk in his glory. All his success, all his power, all who he is, all that he has, and all that he can do. Are you seeing this? Jesus constantly walking this. That's why Jesus was never flustered about anything. They wanted water. They wanted wine at a wedding. Jesus gave him instructions. Jesus taught the people so long to where all the grocery stores closed. They was hungry. He said, we ain't got no but five fishes and two loaves. Jesus said, we'll just bring it here. Bring it here. Make the men sit down. Bring it here. Why? Because he was in his assignment. He was in what he was called to do. So therefore, it was inevitable that the miraculous was going to follow him. It was inevitable that the miraculous was going to happen around him. Because he was in his assignment. What do you think could possibly happen if we walk in our assignment? Then the miraculous would follow us. The miraculous would happen in our family. Things we believe in God for won't be tough no more. Sometimes it won't be you mentioning nothing to God about it. God already know it exists. So you doing what he asked you to do. So now God say, I got to do for them. Is this making sense? Watch what Jesus go on to say. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, here's my next question. About to shake your religion. About to shake it again. Let's go back to Matthew 6 first. Because I need to read the scripture before I say what I say so you won't pull out your knives on me. Because I'm about to teach you how to make that shift from self-centric ideas of God, about who God is, to God-centric. It's very easy. Very easy. Let's see, Matthew the 6th chapter. Let's see, verse 8. Let's go to verse 7 first. Verse 7. Jesus talking, and he says, but when ye pray, we've seen that phrase before, right? Just seen that phrase in Mark 11 and 24, right? But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Other words, when you go to God, don't waste his time. Don't waste his time. Verse 8, Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your heavenly Father, what? Knoweth what things ye have need of. What? All right, so why would Jesus put that in the Bible? Because according to what we've been taught, we got to go ask God for what we want. Right? So why would Jesus put this, be not ye therefore like your Father know what things you have need of, what? Before you ask, right? So when I pray, prayer is nothing more, it's nothing more than you communicating with God and God communicating with you. It's supposed to be dialogue. Most time for most of us, it's a monologue. In other words, just one way, one talking one way. It's supposed to be dialogue. We talk, God talk. We talk, God talk. Mostly Him. All right? I'm going to show you a very, Jesus gave us the answer very clearly. Watch this. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your heavenly Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. Right? Then Jesus goes on and says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. all of us know this prayer. But this prayer was taught to us in a religious format. This prayer was taught to us, listen a minute, this prayer was taught to us in a format just to make sure we knew something about the Bible. We memorized this prayer as to say, I know that, you know, teaching the church, they know the Our Father prayer. They know the Our Father prayer. Right? In a religious denominational way. But watch what Jesus say. After this manner, therefore pray ye. So when we go to, he says, but when ye pray, or when he goes to, when we go to Mark 11:23, what's up these are when you pray, believe it. And then you go to verse 24, it says, when ye pray, he say, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This was first, thy kingdom come. Your ways of doing things come. Thy will be done where? As it is in heaven. This has happened. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Tell me in that prayer where it said anything but us going to ask God for stuff we want. Come on. This is Jesus praying. He said, when you pray, pray after this manner. In other words, after this manner. You might not say these exact words, but you ought to have this attitude. You ought to have this mentality. After this manner, pray ye. Watch this. After this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every time you see the word ask in the Bible, it's not pertaining to what you want. I'm going to make it simple for you. All right. Put down your knives. Go to verse 33. Put down your knives on the net. Put it down. Go to verse 33. All right. We talked about this last week now, but go to verse 32 first. What does it say? For the Gentiles, right? What does it say in verse 32? Right? For after all these things do the Gentiles see. But your heavenly Father, what? Have we seen that statement? When we saw that statement before? We just saw it earlier in verse 8, wasn't it? He knows what you need before you ask. Right? Here we see in the 32nd verse, for your heavenly Father know you have need of all these things. Right? That's where the verse ends, correct? Then verse 33 starts off with what? Well, what word? Now I want that first word. But. We talked about it last week. What that but does? Eliminates everything. So the Gentiles seek after all these things. We qualify what things they seek after. They're not seeking after the Holy Spirit. They're not seeking after the things of God. They don't know they need the thing. They're seeking after stuff, material stuff, houses, land, money, and job of life, right? Things that can, in other words, they look for self-gratification, right? But our Heavenly Father knows we have need of all those things. But do what? Seek ye what? First what? Wait a minute. Go back to verse 11. It says, give us this day what? Go to verse 10. Thy kingdom, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus is saying, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. I just told you how to pray. I just taught you how to pray so that you can get that daily bread, those daily instructions. So that, watch this. So you're able to, you're put in a position, listen to that, Benedict, you're put in a position to seek first the kingdom of God. When you put yourself in that position to do that, what's going to happen? I get to read the third verse. What's going to happen after you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? All these what? So now, I hope you hear me now. Now, instead of me going to God and asking God for, what if I go to God and ask God what he wants? Because according to the mouth of Jesus, if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, doing them his way right, all these what? Things are going to be added unto me. No longer have to ask for the house. I need to ask for what God wants and desire the house. See, I don't have to ask for the dream car or the dream family or whatever. I don't have to ask for those things. I need to ask God, God, what do you want? Because in all God's infinite wisdom, his leading is going to position you to receive all these things. God knows, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts of wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything. That's the kind of thoughts God has about us. To get us or to get us to an expected end. So that means God has already laid out for us a path of success, a path of abundant life, a path in which you can dream and you can't dream where God really wants you to be. That's how much God loves us. But he has a prescribed way that we get there. It's a way that the world system do not understand and cannot understand and will not ever understand. In the world system, one of the first laws of survival is self-preservation. And Jesus said, deny yourself. Because the Bible says, in Galatians 6 and 7, God is not mocked, for whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If I'm always focused on myself, I'm going to be surrounded by selfish people. Are you seeing this? So if I'm always focused on myself, I'm tying God's hand. I'm tying his hand because Jesus laid down a principle. He said, seek ye what? First. So your faith or your assignment comes from God. It comes from the word of God. It comes from the voice of God. So I need to take every time I want to ask God for something, if I have a problem, if I have a problem, I need to ask God for the solution, ask God for his wisdom. Because his wisdom going to walk you right into the solution. His wisdom is going to walk you right into the solution. When you see the word ask in the Bible, it's really talking about you asking about God's will. One of the most famous scriptures we have about the word ask, John 15 and 7. Turn there. John 15, 7. I hope you put down your knives. You know how protective we are of our religion and protective of what we think. That's why I love listening to people that challenge my theology. Because God is always talking. God is never stationary. God is always moving. God is always going further. And so if you ever get comfortable with what you know, then you're gonna get stuck. God to challenge what you think you know. Always. John 15 and 7. It says, if ye abide in me, right? That's what it says, huh? And my word abide in you. Ask what ye will, and what's supposed to happen? So now, if we look at the scripture from a self-centric point of view, we're gonna figure that God is going to do whatever we want. Right? But look at the first part of the scripture, what it says. If you abide in me, and what? And my means we and the word have become one. So that means our agenda has become one. So if the word and I, listen to that minute, have become one, that means that my will has now morphed with one. So now I'm whatever God wants, I want. And whatever I want, God wants. So now what happened? What happens now is God is now able to get things done in the earth realm that he stopped himself from doing so that we can have a chance to do something on his behalf. Why? So it gives him the privilege of doing something for us. Are y'all seeing this? So if I abide in him and his me, we become one. We have the same agenda. We go in the same direction. So now whatever needs I have becomes his needs. When have you ever known God to go needy? Because remember, we said God, he's going to do what he said he's going to do. So now, when you get up in the morning and you spend time with God, and this is the way off. God, deal with my coworkers or deal with this person. What you say is, God, what's your will in this situation? God, what's your wisdom in this situation? God, how do you want me to handle this? Remember now, after this manner, our Father, my creator, my life giver, my protector, my provider, that's Father, who art in heaven, meaning has an art what is at his disposal. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Not my will. Thy will. Do you know what got Jesus out of the grave? What got Jesus out of the grave is because he... Remember he went in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, look, Jesus tried... Jesus was like, look, God, if you could do this some other way. God, possibly, if you got a plan B, now is the time to reveal it to me. Nonetheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's why Jesus deserves all the glory. He deserves all the honor. That's why it's his name that every knee must bow to, every tongue must confess. Are y'all seeing this? So Jesus in this sixth chapter of Matthew taught us how to pray. There are other prayers that we pray, but when it comes to operating in faith, this is the prayer we have to pray. Because this prayer leads to all other prayers. This prayer leads us to the prayer of supplication. This prayer leads to prayer of intercessory. This prayer leads to other, because when God tells me how to pray. But without me wanting to know what God's will is, I'll never be able to walk out his will. When I can't walk out his will, I can't please him. When I can't please him, he is not a rewarder to me. This self-centric idea about who God is what's been holding us in the same holding pattern. Almost like the children of Israel going around a circle in the wilderness. Jericho is right across the river. But because they were self-centric, because when they got into the promised land, it was not going to be about him. It was going to be about them. This is making sense. So having said all that, I'm closing here. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh God, I'm spending time with God. I need to be asking God for his wisdom. God, what you want? God, how you want to do this? God, which way I need to go, God? How you want to do this, God? Explain this to me, God. What you thinking, God? Not go to God with your laundry list of what you want. Not going to God praying to confessing. The two are not the same. Confession is you reminding yourself about what God is going to do for you so that you can have your thoughts straight. That's what confession is for. Confession is not already know what he said he was going to do. Matter of fact, he told you what he was going to do. Prayer is when we go to God and God, God, I'm here for you. God, I want to know what's on your mind. God, I want to know what you're thinking. God, what you have planned. God, how do I handle this? I'm in this situation. God, how you want to handle this? God, what you thinking about this? Which way we need to go with this? God, why you put me here? God, why you put me on this job? I don't like none of these people. Why? I promise you, ask God why and what he wants to do, and I promise the atmosphere would change wherever you work. People that were giving you problems, now they coming, not only coming against you, but God's reason for you being there. Y'all seeing this? So Romans 10 says, so the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in my prayer time, I'm going to God, God, what is all about you, God? What you want? I want your kingdom. Thy will be done. I know you're not going to leave me to temptation, God, so give me my daily day, what I'm doing, and get quiet. Don't keep talking. Get quiet. You ever been in a conversation with somebody don't give you a word in the edgewise? You hate talking to them. Does God hate talking to you?